Last week I spoke on God the Father, if you all remember that, Luke 15, and what a great Father we have.
Yes.
But our great Father is also a great Shepherd. Let's turn to Psalm 23. There are three messianic psalms in the whole Psalter. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Psalm 22 really talks about the Good Shepherd giving his life. And so Psalm 22 is known as the cross. Psalm 23 is where, after the suffering, the shepherd takes over the role of shepherding. And so Psalm 23 is known as the crook. The crook, the staff that the shepherd held, which had a hook on his head. So it's known as the Psalm of the Crook. And Psalm 24 is where our Lord is ascended to heaven. And it really discusses the ascension of Christ. And so Psalm 24 is known as the Psalm of the Crown. So the cross, the crook, and the crown. And so in between these two psalms, Psalm 22, the cross, and Psalm 24, the crown, lies the crook or the hook. This psalm reveals the heart of our God. And it's loaded with meaning, with richness. It's so common. We all know this psalm from our childhood. All those who, people have been raised as Christians. It's so popular. It's so well known. And yet, sometimes we miss the essential meaning. The psalm begins with the word in verse 1, the Lord, in capital, which is Yahweh, the I Am. This psalm has, at its core, revealing the nature of God. There are seven names of God which are divine in the scripture. And we most of us know that. Genesis 22 talks about the Lord will provide, right? Jehovah Jireh. Exodus 15 talks about the Lord our banner, Jehovah Nissi. Exodus 17 talks about things. In fact, Exodus 15 talks about Lord that heals, which is Jehovah Rapha. Judges 6 talks about the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom. Psalm 23 verse 1 talks about the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. Jeremiah 23 talks about the Lord is our righteousness, which is Jehovah Sitkenu. And Ezekiel 48 talks about the Lord is our ever-present with me, Yahweh Shammah. Now, if you notice the psalm, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, which is Jehovah Raha. I shall not be in want, which is the Lord will provide, which is Jehovah Jireh. He leads me beside quiet waters, Jehovah Shalom. He restores my soul, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He leads me in the path of righteousness, Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord of righteousness. I fear no evil, for you are with me, Jehovah Shammah, ever present. And prepare table, anoint me with oil, cup overflows, goodness and love follows me, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victor, our banner. The entire psalm is revealing God. Jesus picked on those seven names in different way, in seven times in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. Seven names. Jesus chose seven names, comparing the seven divine names of God, claiming that he is God. So Psalm 23 begins with this word, the Lord. I am. And it's amazing that we never say that when we tell our names. I don't say I am Pradeep. Usually say I'm Pradeep Kuti, right? The full name. And the Lord just ends by saying, I am, and then keeps adding nature to it. I am the shepherd, I am the healer, I am the provider, and I am, and I am, and I am, and I am. Because you can't confine God under one name. And so the Lord chose to say, I am who I am. And so the psalmist starts by saying, the Lord, the self-existing, the almighty, the all-knowing, the creator of all things, the I am, the Yahweh. In other words, when he says that, he's saying, I'm so dependent because he is Lord and I am not. I submit everything that is mine to him. He is my Lord. Andrew Bonar once said that in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander off to the rocks and get into places that they couldn't get out of. The grass on these mountains is very sweet and the sheep like it. And they will jump down 10 or 12 feet and then can't jump back again. And the shepherd hears them bleating in desperation. They may be there for days until they have eaten all the grass. Well, the shepherd will wait until they are so faint that they cannot stand. And then they will put a rope around him and he will go over and pull that sheep out of the jaws of death. Bonar asked the shepherd, why don't you go down when the sheep first gets there? Why do you let them be there for so many days? Shepherd said, well, they are so foolish that if we try to help them, they will dash over the precipice and be killed. So they would wait for them to get so faint that they have no strength to move. Our shepherd will wait for us till we are faint, till we are at our ends, when we desperately call out in help, and he will come to help. But not when we are full of us. Not when we are full of us. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Being a shepherd was the lowest job in society at that time. If you remember David's story, all the sons were chosen by the prophet. And they asked, where is he? Ah, he's somewhere there. What is he doing? Taking care of the sheep, right? Remember that? Insignificant. It's a low job. And yet, this Yahweh is shepherd. And not just shepherd, my shepherd. Very personal. And he's, but the most amazing thing about that is that makes us sheep. And sheep are not the most intelligent in the animal kingdom. They are, to be fair, the dumbest. They need to be led. They don't even know where to find grass. You don't find sheep in circus. Do you?
No, no things.
You can't train them. They're dumb. And if I'm wrong, study on sheep and you will hear them say they have nothing on their own. They are so dependent. They so need to be led. And the Bible chooses to describe us as sheep. What does that tell us? We can be as dumb as the sheep. Sometimes I think sheep are better. At least I can speak for myself. We read that verse and say, ah, he's a shepherd. We forget that we are sheep. Absolutely in need of guidance. We are lost if left alone. Those times the shepherd would pierce the ear of the sheep on wood and put a particular seal on the sheep to show that that sheep belongs to a particular shepherd. The slaves were also pierced in their ears on the doorpost to show that that is my slave. Jesus pierced himself on wood as a slave to God to save us from slavery. To show that we belong to him. His death on the cross is a display of him being the shepherd, and that we belong to him. And that belonging comes with responsibility. It is not that we be fattened and pampered and live selfish lives. It is for us to acknowledge that I need you, Lord. And that means that I need other sheep around me who are as dumb as me. Just if you thought you had all the answers, the word sheep takes that off. The shepherd has all the answers, not the sheep. If you're a sheep guiding another sheep, is one dumb sheep guiding another dumb sheep to the shepherd. Sometimes in my early years, I thought being a discipler makes you superior. And you can sit across the table and tell people what to do. And forgot what a dumb thing that was. And amazingly, the disciples sitting across the table knew that I was dumb. I didn't know that. It took me a while to figure that. God put some incredible disciples in your life to really reveal how dumb I can be. And then the psalmist says, I shall not be in want. He's not saying I shall not be in need. He's saying I shall not be in want. We are a society of wants. It's all about wants. I want this and I want that. Even in our marriages, I want this and I want that. Our children, I want this or else. Even in the church, I want this or else. I find another church. The spirit is about wanting. Richard Foster said this. Listen to this carefully. Because we lack a divine center, our need for security has led us into an insane attachment to things. We really must understand that the lust for affluence in contemporary society is psychotic. It is psychotic because it has completely lost touch with reality. We crave things we neither enjoy or need. We buy things we do not want to impress people we do not like. It is time to awaken to the fact that conformity to a sick society is to be sick. Ooh. Buying things to impress people you don't even like. The psalmist declares, Lord, because you're my shepherd, I know you will supply all that I need. And what I have at the moment is what I need. I don't have everything I want, but for sure, God, You have given me all that I need. And what does a sheep need? Good grass. That's why the Bible calls that in the final day, he will separate the goats from the sheep. Because goats don't eat grass. They do, but they survive on paper, on sandals, anything that they find. They are junk food animals. Sheep purely live on grass. And so in the final day, he will separate the two. And Charles Spurgeon in the 18th century said, are we entertaining goats or are we feeding sheep? The churches have become about entertainment. Sheep need that. Goats need entertainment, not sheep. Sheep need to be fed. They long to be fed. To be fed by pure word from God. They're hungry. How do you differentiate a sheep from a goat? Well, how hungry are you for your word? I've got for God's word. That tells you where we are. Have you noticed by now in the psalm, he makes me, he leads me. It's all about him. He's doing it. He's doing it. And then he comes down and says, he makes me lie down where? Green pastures. Makes me lie down. Because sheep cannot be made to lie down easily. They only lie down when they are fully fed and extremely overeaten. Then they lie down quietly. Till then, they don't. But there are four other reasons actually why sheep don't lie down. One, fear. Are they wolves, snakes, other stuff? Secondly, tension within the group. There's always a bully who knocks the other and creates chaos within the team. Third, attack of flies. A big problem. Fourthly, hunger. If they're not eaten sufficiently, they can't lie down. It is when there are bullies in the group of sheep, the shepherd uses the staff to sort of spank them. It's always true that among sheep, there's always a bully that rises. A bully with all kinds of feelings and attitudes. And he spreads that to the other sheep.
Yeah.
And very soon, you have a bunch of sheep bullying. The Lord is a shepherd. He deals with bullies. With his staff. In fact, with his rod. He had a rod along his waist. He would take it, put the sheep into place. I always told my children as they grew up, you need two things. I told Gabriel all his life. What are those two things, son? Rod and God.
Amen.
That's all you need. God will be your God. I will give the rod. That's how it works. It worked well. That's why he ran down under. So stay as far as possible from my dad. Sheep rest when they're well taken care of, when they're secure. And then they're led to still waters. It's interesting because sheep don't drink from running water. They only drink from still waters. Because in running water, it gets to their nose and they go, they can't. They need rested water. And the sheep, and the shepherd actually has to look around for still water. You can actually make them stand near moving water, they'll just stand there. They won't drink. They need still water. And the shepherd finds a place like that so that they could actually drink. That's why Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will never be thirsty. But he is a shepherd. the great shepherd. Then he says, he restores my soul. You know, when these sheep are well fed and fattened, obviously they want to lie down. They find a nice trough on the ground. There's nice space to lie down and they kind of feel cushy there and rest it out. And slowly, you know, their gases form in the stomach. Their stomach gets swollen. Now they are slowly lying on their back with their legs up. And eventually find out they can't get up. And actually, if you leave them for a few hours in that position, they die. It's called the cast, C-A-S-T, the position of cast. Then the shepherd has to come, turn around, okay, massage his legs, warm his body up, talk to him, it's okay, and then restoring back to his normal life, and he runs. That's exactly what he's done. And when we read the verse, he restores my soul, we, like those dumb sheep, sometimes I'll get stuck. He comes along and he puts us back on our feet. That's who he is. He's a restorer. He loves us. And then after he puts us back, the psalmist says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness.
Amen.
For what? For his name's sake. In other words, if he doesn't do what he says, his name is disreputed. So he has to do everything he has ever said. So he sets us on a path of righteousness, not a crooked path, but a straight path of righteousness. And he leads us there. He goes ahead and the sheep follow. So he restores us and then he sets us on the path of righteousness. And strangely, he even leads them to the valley of the shadow of death. And these valleys of death in the Jewish time, in the ancient time, were sometimes full of thieves, lions, even lepers would be hiding in these valleys. They were considered unclean, dangerous areas. You would not go through those places. But sometimes to get to a better place, you have to go through these valleys. The only confidence that a sheep had was a shepherd was ahead of them. Even though they were in the middle of the valley, the shepherd led them. So, what did the shepherd do? Led them through the valley. And that's what God does. He does not allow us to escape the valley. He allows us to go through the valley, but he leads us through it. So when our lives are in a valley where we don't see any hope, trust that he's right ahead. You have to wait and trust that he will lead you through it.
Amen.
Do not give him time frames. Don't tell him, Lord, how long? Come on, quicker. Trust me, he will take longer. Trust me. He will push it longer. Because God is in no hurry. He has all the time in the world. And he will slow down so that we learn what we have to learn through those valleys. I think all of us can acknowledge sometime or the other in our lives, we've been through valleys.
Yeah.
Maybe we are in one right now. Mm. And it's okay. Trust that he is walking ahead of you.
Amen.
He's right there.
Amen.
And he will walk you through it. He doesn't leave us alone and dump us there and think, no. He walks us through it. And then he says, your rod and your staff. The rod and the staff. The staff was usually taken to, you know, when they fall off a cliff or something or a precipice, they will use the staff to pull them up. Or if they are off path, they will use the rod, staff to just pull them back. If there's a bully, he will take the rod out and give a spank. You know, that's how the shepherd managed the sheep. And the whole picture is how God allows it. Sometimes he does use the rod.
Mm.
We hate that, but he does use it. Because he knows what is best for us.
Amen.
And then he prepares a table, it says. What is that? In Eastern culture, tables meant community, where you come together and have a meal. If you come to the Middle East, everything is about food. Everything is about food. And if there is food, that means you're family. That means they trust you, that you're one of them. And the shepherd would actually go into a pasture, and he would actually pick out the weeds and poisonous leaves and fruits, so that then the sheep could come and graze. So in a sense, he would prepare the table for the sheep. That's the picture there, that he prepares the buffet. He goes ahead and he kind of sets it up. That's the picture. So they've been through this valley, and they're out there, and they're still not out of danger. There's still danger out there, poisonous stuff. He takes even that out to make sure the sheep is taken care of. That's the picture there that the psalm is giving us. He anoint me, my head with oil, of course, to take away the wounds, to take away the insects and all of that. Cup flows over, and then says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life. We are all escorted with a shepherd in front and a twin angel behind. Goodness and mercy.
Amen.
So the shepherd goes ahead, and these two are walking behind us. A mom was concerned about her kindergarten son walking to school. He didn't want his mother to walk with him. He was too embarrassed. She wanted to give him the feeling that he had some independence, but yet know that he was safe. She asked a neighbor if she would please follow him to school in the mornings, staying at a distance, so he probably wouldn't notice her. The neighbor agreed. The next day, school day, the neighbor and her little girl set out following behind Timmy as he walked to school with another neighbor boy he knew. She did this for the whole week. As the boys walked and chatted, kicking stones and twigs, Timmy's little friend noticed the same lady was following them as she seemed to do every day all week. Finally, he said to Timmy, have you noticed that lady following us to school all week? Do you know her? Timmy non-kindly replied, ah, yeah, that's just Shirley Goodness and her daughter Mercy. Every night, my mom makes me say Psalm 23 with my prayers, and it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I'll just have to get used to it. We're all called to be disciples for Lord, our great shepherd, who's always on the move. We have to catch up with him. We need to learn to recognize his voice, to go where he wants us to go, to serve where he wants us to serve, to imitate the things that he has asked us to imitate.
Amen.
Sheep were nothing but a sacrifice on the altar. What were sheep used for? They would end up their lives in that culture on the altar, with their throat being slit and offered to God. If the Bible says the Lord is our shepherd and we are the sheep, we should be willing to place ourselves on the altar.
Amen.
As somebody said, as Paul said in Romans 12, that we are what? Living sacrifices.
Amen.
But the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. We have to learn to stay on it. We love to crawl out, but let's be willing to lay down our lives for a great shepherd, the greatest of all. This psalm is demanding not just the pampering of good pasture and water and food, but also demands our life, because he is Yahweh. The I Am, who demands everything. And let us not just take comfort in the psalm in the sense that, oh, he's going to take care of me, but be challenged to go where he calls us to go, to do what he asks us to do. Trust that he knows best. I did not think Kuwait was a plan he had. I did not think so. But that's the plan he had. To humble me, to teach me, to educate me, the things that I have to learn. I resisted it. I fought it. I struggled with it. I still do sometimes. But I have learned that he is my shepherd.
Amen.
And he knows what he wants. And where he wants me to be. And what he wants me to do. And how he wants me to live. He knows it. Why don't I just trust that? And offer myself as a willing sheep to this great shepherd as a sacrifice. I really pray that all of us will walk this journey and let him lead us. Let him lead us where he wants us to go. I love you all so much. We'll miss you. We're flying out tomorrow. We hope to see you sometime again. Hope one day that Australia can be our home. Pray for us. Love you all. Man, now before we stand up for the final song, I want to thank Pradeep personally.